Jackson, I can't tell if you're using a fake background or you just have a really cute kitchen.
I have a cute kitchen.
Yeah.
I moved into a new apartment in or like a little cottage in February.
Was great.
I can't tell if you have a new home or if you live in a blur.
Definitely live in a blur. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm going to be driving, so I'm going to probably go off camera because you'll all get weird, sick, motion sickness. I just wanted to say hello. What's up?
Hello.
It's been a minute.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Can I ask who is at 628-067-671?
Hey, Mark. It's John Ainsley here from HHS.
Thanks, John. Let me give you a name.
When should we get started?
You're the boss.
Is the team here? Is the gang here?
You're the
No, we
man
don't
with the
have
gavel.
quorum remotely. You can give it a couple minutes if you want or not. There's nothing to vote on.
All right, I'll give it a couple minutes. I don't want to be a jerk about it.
Please don't be a jerk.
Well, you know, on camera, I'll try not to be a jerk.
Guys.
Hey, Irma. We're just going to wait a few more minutes to see who else
Okay,
joins.
sorry,
Like
I was running late. I'm coming from another thing.
there's a bar called apparently the Lube Room Saloon that I will be going to eventually. What kind of name is the Lube Room Saloon?
Where's
What
that
the?
at?
It's in Arnold or Tahoe?
Oh, really?
Lube Room Saloon. They could have found some
Lupus?
Anyway, I guess I'll give that a thumbs up.
Sounds like a good time.
I agree.
Oi. Sorry, I'm a little late. I was having technical difficulties as well.
They serve food at the Lube Room Saloon.
You
Are you
just
crazy?
looked it up?
That's hilarious. Does it look
Gotta look
nice?
it up.
Or is it like a, probably like a hole in the wall plus food? I don't
It's
know.
an American
Lube
restaurant.
Room Saloon.
Oh. Well, as
Oh.
long as it's an American restaurant, I certainly don't want to go to some non-American restaurant or
Lube
an un-American
Room
restaurant. Oof, heaven forbid.
Saloon.
Anyone?
Saloon.
Oh, it's like other people are looking it up now too.
Oi.
Deviled eggs.
I love those.
Me too.
American.
Very American. I wonder if they have mac and cheese as well as
Ooh,
ribs.
they have something called lube stew.
That doesn't sound delicious to me. Nope. I'm gonna pass on that one.
That's funny.
PB&J. There you go.
Like PB and
That's
J.
American, right? PB and J is American.
I assume so.
I think
Has
it
anyone
is.
ever had the latest craze of peanut butter on toast with sriracha and pickles?
Ooh, no, but I would try that. You
Yes.
also you put sea salt on it, you put scallions and lime. They also some people put honey on
Okay.
it, but I tried that, it was too sweet and gross. But without the honey, it's actually super delicious. It's just
Is
a
that
lot.
gonna take the avocado toast place now?
I think it's too divisive to replace avocado toast because avocado brings people together. I think
Yeah.
sriracha
It sort of sounds like peanut sauce.
Yeah.
It has a delicious Thai flavor for sure.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law swears by peanut butter pickles and mayonnaise.
Interesting.
David, you said you had this before. It's very important to answer that before we start the meeting.
Yeah, I know. I heard about the scallions, and it was like poverty stoner food at my friend's house. And which it was. I mean, it was totally poverty stoner food. But his reasoning behind it was, it's like, oh, this is just like Thai food. I'm like, okay. So made sense to me.
You're in the mood.
Yeah. Except he didn't use the pickles. He used the onion and the carrots that come in like the bottled jalapeno stuff.
The bondi style, yeah.
Yeah. So it was that. So it was really spicy, but it was that. I'm like, oh, you're absolutely right. This makes sense. All right. Well, let's get the meeting started because it is 3:07 and ain't no one showing up extra. Okay, great. So welcome to the Council Affairs Committee meeting for the HIV Community Planning Council. Really quick introductions. How do you want to do this? Should we just go and...
Just call on people?
All right. Jackson.
I'm here. Council member. Jackson Bowman.
Jesse Murphy, council member, also here.
Great. Irma.
Irma Parada, council member and co-chair.
Great. And now Paul.
Paul Harkin, council member.
Awesome. And now we're going to go to government representatives. First, we'll have Hannah.
Hi, Hannah Yord, CHEP, DPH.
Fantastic. Thank you. Welcome. And then John.
Yeah, John Ainsley, representing HIV Health Services, DPH.
Fantastic. And then, of course, we have our council staff, Valerie.
Valerie Takuto, council staff.
Cool. And last but not least, the strikingly, Mark Molnar.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
All right. Fantastic. So going on the agenda, review the May 11th draft minutes. So I think Mark's going to put those up in a second.
Oh, let's do the agenda.
Oh, the agenda. Is it the agenda? Oh, I'm sorry. Looking at the wrong thing. The agenda for today. Agenda's up really quick. I think the only thing we have to review today is a drug user health presentation, right?
Yes. And I'm sorry, Hannah, that I identified you as drug user health rather than by your name. Wow, embarrassing.
Totally fine.
I was looking at that, and I thought maybe they were like, trying to see who was going to do it. All right. So if there's any additions or subtractions or alterations, I'd like to approve this by consensus. Fantastic. Great. Moving on to the next item is then the minutes for the last meeting. Last meeting was pretty lengthy. So this is the one where we reviewed the presentations for the ending the epidemics. And then also, did we do the housing one? No.
No, we did HCAP.
Oh. HCAP, that's the one that was pretty lengthy too. But that's about it. If there's any additions or subtractions or friendly amendments, let us know. If not, we'll also pass these by consensus. All right. Well, that's about it. Right, great. Pass by consensus. So I think at this point is when we open things up for any announcements from the team, from the gang present.
I got a quick one. So can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Can you guys hear me? Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry. So as you probably know, we're in the midst of opening the mayor is calling a drug sobering center, but that's not what it's going to be called. It's going to be its function will be a drug user health and wellness center. And I'm wondering if there's a way of getting the council just to be vocal about their support of this while we're going through the commissioners No, the Health Commission and then the Budget Committee, I think, have to vote on it. So there's a couple of city things, and obviously the mayor is behind it as well. So, but is it, for those of you who are wiser than me, is it worth the HIV Planning Council making some kind of supportive statement, or is that already implied because Dr. Grant Colfax has endorsed this intervention? I throw it to the group if they're allowed to respond.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah, I don't think it hurt. We should do it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the folks that were on the task force or that were from the council, but at the same time, I think as a council, we should totally throw our support behind it 100%.
Okay, cool. So can somebody, Mark, can I talk to you offline about the best way to do that? Is that cool?
Sure, and I'll tell you right now as well. Put the steering committee on your agenda, and I will put this is an agenda item, so just prepare a motion and verbal, or if you want to send it in advance, it'll just be a few minutes, honestly.
Okay, great. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Also, Paul, if there's like a mechanism for submitting letters of support or something through...
I will share that. Yeah, there's a sort of email address.
Share it out with maybe with like Happen or something, you know, just to get it out to all the providers and make sure.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
Great, thank you. Yeah, we were having an internal conversation here about that today, but just because, you know, it's out there, but at the same time, we're trying to sort of like, there's been questions about it with some of our program participants. And at this point, it's just like, hey, things are happening. We can't give anybody indefinite. So any support you can give us around that, probably great.
Yeah, I mean, it still has to get through a couple of things, but, I think we're going to be okay. So, but you never know. NIMBYs have, you know, so far the A-list NIMBYs with the power haven't managed to get in the way. So, but, you know, let's hope it remains that way. It's the usual kind of, you know, you're going to bring drug dealers, you're going to bring this, you're going to bring that. And, you know, when we show them the evidence that in all the sobering centers in the country or drug treatments, you know, these things never happened, they don't care because they know in their intuitive way that it's going to happen. And so, and we're just bad people. We should have it in our neighborhood. And then they'll all support it 100% if it's in the Tenderloin. It's the ultimate NIMBY admission right there. So, but yeah.
All right.
I will keep you posted on our progress. Couple of more hurdles before it gets guaranteed.
Yeah, and then also, as soon as you know you have like definites and sort of like, you know, especially around putting together like a presentation of like, this is who we are, this is what we're doing, this is how we, you know, just reach out to Mark and the team.
Exactly. I'm just finalizing a PowerPoint that we're going to go around individual, you know, like the CBDs and, you know, different organizations and do the sort of, you know, hey, here's what's happening. This is what's really happening, not the you know, the sort of hysterical, you're bringing meth rage into the neighborhood. They're one block from Sixth Street and we're bringing meth rage. That's hilarious. So that's coming soon. And I'd love to do one for the council if that would help. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Right.
What is an important intervention.
I've not heard of the phrase meth rage.
I know, you know, just, I mean, personally, I can just rage with any drugs, but I guess it means that you've got a sort of psychostimulant on board, so your rage is somewhat magnified. But yeah, I'm just guessing between the lines there, because I don't think it's an actual diagnosis.
Oh, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know, but it was obviously a talking point because we got about eight emails telling us that we were bringing meth rage to the to Soma.
Great, sounds fantastic. Let's get all the meth rage in the ER. Basically, all right. Thanks, Paul. But yeah, keep us posted because the more this is becoming more of reality, I really want to make sure that we throw our supporter behind it, because you know it's happening. Right. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks.
So next, I guess there's no public comments since there's no one from the public here. Next is, going over the drug user health presentation, and that's going to be led by Hannah. So if you could please post that, and welcome, Hannah.
Thank you. Good to be here. Yeah.
Sorry to jump in. I don't know if you have a presentation or not, but if you don't, I can put up what Eileen sent you and me and Thomas, just as far as the outline. Would that be helpful for you?
Yeah, I think we have an updated one, so I can post it. I mean, I can share it on here, but it's just, yes, I didn't put together slides because we're not there yet. So I asked Mark if we could just present the outline and then get feedback on that. And he graciously said yes. So, and Eileen and Katie Burke are not able to be here today, so I'm here instead. And let's see. So let me do this. Is that working? No. What can you see? You can see just this Word document. Yeah. So yeah, feel free to stop me and ask questions and all of that. So Eileen was asked to do an overview of our drug user health services, and it's been, I don't know, I think I did an update in like 2018 or something to the council. So it's definitely been a while. And Katie, Eileen, and I, we worked together on a lot of these services. And so my first question actually is it okay to have three presenters, or do you want just two, or do you want just one? So, because we were going back and forth about should, you know, one person just go over the whole presentation, and then we found out we may have 45 minutes total, which is a long time. And we each have separate programs that we oversee. So, you know, we're not always comfortable presenting other people's work, but we'll follow your guidance.
Always good to have different voices and different people presenting. It keeps people focused on the topic at hand when you have a sudden shift in presenters, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think three, and you'll, you know, like you said, you have your sort of areas that you have, you know, greater affinity and knowledge about. So I think three presenters is fine in this situation. It's good. It keeps people focused, like Mark said.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah. Thanks. Sounds good. So then this is probably the order it's going to be in. Katie, who is our viral hepatitis coordinator and helps oversee Hep C SF, is going to start out and she'll give an introduction. And do you need me to zoom in at all? Is that better? Yeah. She'll do an intro and some background and also give a data snapshot, especially focusing on overdose. Oh, snuggles. How sweet. we'll give a reminder that a lot of the work that we're doing now and have been doing since 2015 came from the recommendations from the council work group on substance use. So we'll kind of circle back to that and as a reminder. And then right now, I think since the beginning of the year, there's been a big planning process focused on overdose prevention within DPH that's led by Judith Martin in behavioral health and Hallie Hammer in primary care and Eileen. And Katie and I attend that along with a lot of other folks who either oversee programs that reach people who use drugs or who work directly with people who use drugs. And so we're going to share about that, and we'll do a high level overview of like the metrics and what we're focusing on. And it is attached to funding. So it's not just planning, like it's actually things that we're acting on and going to be collecting monthly data on. So that'll give that big picture overview. And then Katie will go into focusing on what CHEP is doing, because we feel like that makes most sense to talk about what we're doing and what we have contracts for. And so as we've gone through all of the presentation, if there are other presentations, you know, definitely there are lots of folks in behavioral health who could talk about what they're doing on a much deeper level, if that was of interest to the council. So we'll.
Hey, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be letting us know all the interventions that are currently being funded by DPH and behavioral health that are currently funded? Like, will you, exhaustive list? Because I really need to know where all the overdose prevention programs are, the funded ones.
Yeah. So we weren't going to go into an exhaustive list, but right. It can be provided. But I'm happy to talk to Eileen and Kitty just to see how much detail we can go into, because we do have a fair amount of time for the presentation. Okay.
Well, if I could just get that, because getting mm-hmm. to zero or reviewing overdose in the city, then I need to know what's currently happening. So this is very fortuitous that you're doing this presentation.
Good. When is that meeting happening? Is it after our presentation or before?
Yeah. I think it'll be after.
Okay, yeah. Well, we are happy to share.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So specifically overdose. Yep, all right. And then, so within CHEP, there's the Drug User Health Initiative that we've shared about before. And then Katie is going to give details about the work that's been happening in the shelter-in-place hotels and SROs. There's overdose prevention work happening there in collaboration with the DOPE project. And then Katie also oversees the DOPE contract, so she will give an overview of what they're currently doing, including reversals and expansions of services and stuff. And then that will be the end of Katie's section. Any other questions about that or any? No. Okay. And then I will talk more in detail about the Drug User Health Initiative. So Katie is really just doing the high level overview of what it is as a reminder. So I'll specifically talk about the Harm Reduction Training Institute. And then consumer input, that's one of the countermeasures for this large-scale DPH planning that I was referring to. And so just having ongoing engagement with people who use drugs to just help us with our services is something we'll be tracking. And so I'll give an overview of that. And then contingency management, and specifically mobile contingency management, is something I'll give an overview of. And both of those are funded through Ending the Epidemic. So there's, we're trying to really incorporate all of this drug user health work into that initiative as well. And then any questions about those? No. And then Eileen will talk about the community health response team that she oversees, that she supervises. They're part of CHEP. And they do a lot of street-based work, a lot of work in SIP and hotels and safe sleeping sites, et cetera, and do a lot of Narcan distribution and training. So she'll give an overview of that work. And then there's a whole team, and we're working collaboratively with the DPH Behavioral Health Pharmacy to do both Narcan distribution and training. So it's like naloxone clearinghouse is what we're calling it. And so it's kind of exciting. We just started it. And the CHEP team is really focusing on training city agencies. We get a lot of random requests from city agencies that want to get trained in overdose. So we are coordinating our efforts that way. And then Eileen will give an overview of next steps. So the overdose prevention services, right, the supervised consumption services, there is an update about that she'll give. And then also some of the DPH funded initiatives that are about to start that are coming from years and years of planning, but she'll be able to go into details as much as she can about that. So that is what our plan is. Is there anything that is missing? Anything, that the council really wants to hear about that doesn't fall into these big buckets?
Maybe. Yes.
I think it sounds really good. And it's quite, you know, we've got two people dying a day in San Francisco from overdose. And we're having like, you know, hundreds of overdose reversals every month. So because of these programs, you know, there's so many lives being saved. Right. But, you know, we're still at an unprecedented level of death. And we know interventions that work. So I think this is very, you know, I'd like to say timely, but it should have happened a while ago. But now we're doing it. And, you know, all the agencies that work with people who are at risk should be empowered and trained in how to do Narcan, you know, administration, overdose recognition, Narcan administration. And that's the only way, you know, I know there's all these structural things that we can do, but they take forever. And meanwhile, yeah, we can't allow two people to die every day while we move the other pieces on the board. So I really appreciate you doing it. And I can't wait for these new initiatives to be enacted, because this is an emergency, yeah, unprecedented.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Paul. Any other input, any other questions or things we could flesh out a little more for the presentation?
I have a question. I don't know if the rest of the council would be interested in this or not, but I just, you know, I noticed, you know, London Reed had our announcement today about another, what is it, like another kind of wellness response team, like a second one that they're gonna try. I wonder how some of these efforts like coordinate with some of these other initiatives across the city to respond to either mental health or substance use crises without police intervention. If there's any planned coordination there. Or,
yeah, great question. Yeah, I'll see if that's part of any of the sections that Eileen will cover. And if not, we can add something about that, you know, if there's coordination happening and where the gaps are. Yeah, great question.
Great.
Anything else?
If there's no other input, questions. Great. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. Yeah.
Thank you, Hannah.
Yeah, thanks. Do you want me to send this to you, Mark, to share?
Not the outline itself. The presentation completed, if you can send that to Valerie, just so that she has enough time to send that out to the council in advance. You know, obviously before that Monday would be great, but if not, at least by that Monday morning.
Okay, is there a preferred date? You can give me a timeline.
Friday. The Friday before.
Yes.
Not this Friday. Next Friday.
I know, 21st. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get on it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
All right, awesome. And then I think, is that the end of the meeting, Mark? Is that it?
It really is. I didn't even put on a work plan review, although I guess verbally you all should know that I did have to move Katie's Hep C annual microelimination presentation to later. She said she was not up for doing that now because she's been working on other things, and I see what other things she's been working on. And she'll be seeing us anyway. Next month is about trans challenges. So I'll be reaching out to a few different places that were suggested to me, and I probably will be leaning a bit on CHEP and HSS to give me some introductions. But let's hope that happens. It's been 2 years that we've been putting this off, so hopefully we can get finally on deck for June.
All right. And then I have on my notes that at some point we will be having a conversation, just I think it's steering, about what it would look like to sort of like meet as a group. I think just to follow up with the conversation from the last time we had a conversation about this, was it steering? I forget when it was. So anyways, just to let you all know that we're still waiting for more guidance from local government in terms of just what it looks like to have small group meetings in a larger space. For the most part, like, we're definitely going to have, we're going to pin that until we get more guidance on it. But at some point in the next couple months, we probably will be having those conversations within our individual committee meetings. So it's not going to be like the full council. It's going to be like, hey, Council Affairs, what do y'all think? And so just to get you guys know, FYI, because I know that's been sort of a topic of conversation the past couple times we met in different sort of iterations. And so I want to make sure that we address that because it's been coming up. That's about it.
Yeah. Thank you, David. It's going to be discussed sort of as a starter conversation at steering next Thursday. That'll probably mainly be about when are we going to consider the full council itself. Because that will be, the full council will almost certainly reopen after the committees, and the committees themselves will consider if they want to, honestly. Mm-hmm. Don't want to be forcing anyone to do anything. But I think most important is what David mentioned. We also don't have guidance yet. You know, there's guidance about other things, but not about government meetings. So hopefully Bill Bloom will be able to bring that next Thursday. Thanks, David, for bringing that up.
Yeah, that's about it. Right. Thank you all. And any questions?
Oh, just real quick, do you anticipate, like, I don't know if before pre-COVID, like, calling into meetings was considered attending or not? Like, do you think that would be an option?
Well, Sunshine and Brown Raker parameters have been lifted during the pandemic. I don't know if they've been put back in place. I assume not, but I assume they will be. So calling in was not something that was approved if there was going to be a vote. We did occasionally have it. I know that Thomas Noble called in a couple times. It should not be the practice, though. Our State Office of AIDS also, a representative also called in, you recall, frequently, I think every month. Those are special circumstances. But, you know, I'm not the boss of these parameters. If the parameters have changed and if they have stayed flexible, then that means that we'll change too, possibly.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're sort of waiting for, like, sort of local government guidance on that, because, you know, because my first question last time I met was, you know, that we're a government entity, you know, we're a government approved entity, and so we have to follow whatever government guidelines are set forth, and so that would include the Brown and Sunshine Act, because, you know, we went through several different sort of like scenarios, and one was like, well, what if some people show up and some people want to call in? Do we have the technology? And like, well, first of all, are we even allowed to do that specifically for a government approved voting body? So that's the real deal, and so, you know, until that comes out, we're just going to table a conversation. But just to let you guys know that we are going to have that conversation sometime in this summer. So it's happening. You know.
Yeah, that's also why the full council meeting will be the last to unroll out, because of the size of the automatic size of the council plus the need to, like, create space plus what members of the public. That's a lot of people in one place. And that will be clearly, that'll pose the greatest challenge, less so for the committees, but there's challenges there too.
Yeah. Any other questions or concerns or things you want to sort of like put on the agenda for next time we meet? All right, great. Thank you so much for attending. The next meeting will be on June 8th for Council Affairs. But until then, if I don't see you all at steering, you all, the full council. Thanks so much. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.